We have to work on the clock, by the way. The clock is losing time every year. So that's the other thing. These new batteries are good. Okay, so we left off in the previous year. We're trying to understand what exactly is chalav. So when we speak about chalav, we have to know what's chalav deraisa, what's chalav derabbanan, what's not chalav at all, what are we never concerned with. So we have one or two other examples left, which are not necessarily basal chalav deraisa, which may be potential problems on some degree of derabbanan. So one is what the Gemara speaks about, which is called chalav shchuta, chalav mesa. If chalav that comes out of an animal after the animal is no longer alive. Now, the main sugya of chalav shchuta is the famous sugya which is called chal. So I'm gonna chal is the udder, the animal. If you shecht an animal, you open it up, and you take out the chal, and there's a lot of milk. It hasn't yet exited the animal, mechayim, so that milk is not considered to be milk on the level of deraisa. It's a very, very complicated sugya in the 8th Brekhmas of Chulin, Simon Tzadi in Yerdeya. I think that's going to be one of the things that we're not going to discuss this year. The last time we did Yerdeya, we did spend time on chal, and it's very, very long and very, very complicated and not so relevant lamaisa. So we're going to... So when you get to the sugya of chal on the Marmikomos, those who want to learn through Tavar Lechem Bracha, but we're not going to focus on it too much. We're just going to talk about it very, very quickly now as it's relevant in terms of our part of the sugya. So the Gemara says the bottom line is that chalav shchuta is not chalav deraisa, but it's still potentially a problem, maybe sometimes a problem with the rabbanon. How do you know that chalav shchuta is not a problem with the deraisa? How do you know if the chalav comes out after the animal is no longer alive, it's not chalav? So the Gemara has a drasha, osevashik viba chalav imo, prat l'shchuta she'ein ru'ya likros aim. An animal, after it's dead, can no longer have children. I think that biology hasn't been changed yet. Okay, once it's dead, it's not going to become a mother anymore. So therefore, it's exercised across. It's not called chol of imo. It's not doing the chol of imo. Good, fine. So the problem is, when the Gemara quotes this din, it always translates that to mean chol of mesa, chol of shchut. It keeps on using those terms, even though the original drasha is formulated more in terms of ein royal likros ein. And the question is, are those two terms really interchangeable? Could you potentially have a scenario where something is shchuta, but it could potentially have children? And can you have something, an animal, that can never have children, and yet it's not quite shchuta? Are those two things mamash hanu hachin? The Gemara doesn't differentiate. The Gemara just keeps on lumping them all together. It quotes the drasha, and it calls it shchuta, and then moves on. But could you possibly, really, really get dakas, and say that one could perhaps exist without the other, which may be an afkamina ladin? So it comes with Kivager, famous and chlusher of Kivager, in Siman Pei Zayin, quote, and I think I probably put in the Mamakamos. Kivega has the following shaila. He says, what's the din? Here's our Hilchos Shechita part of Yerdeya. Okay, held in there. Maybe one of the few things we'll talk about. There is a very, very famous din in Hilchos Shechita called the Ben Pekua. One of the world's a Ben Pekua. So if you shecht an animal, a female animal, the animal's pregnant, and lo and behold, after you shecht, you open it up, and a baby pops out. And the baby is alive and well. The baby walks away and great. So there's Machlekes HaTanoim, you're allowed to eat that baby. So normally the din is, well, it's after a pasuk when you shecht an animal. So if the animal's pregnant and then the uber, the fetus, is killed with the shechita, so then you're allowed to eat that meat. That everybody agrees to. So it was machlekes Rabbi Meir and the Rabbanan back in the 4th parak of Chulin. If you shecht the mother and the fetus is not dead, the fetus is alive and well, is that also included in the gzeras hakos of osa techelu, babahem osa techelu? So we paskin lahalacha lekula. We paskin like the Rabbanan, that with the raisa for sure, and sometimes even with the rabbanon, your mama shecht an animal, the baby walks out, it's alive and well, you're allowed to eat that animal. And you don't have to shecht it. Mama eat it alive. There's nothing wrong with eating that animal. Pasha sadvar min. Some rishonim may disagree on technical grounds, but nikra din, the animal for sure doesn't eat shechit anymore. So you shoot it, you kill it any other way. According to some, you can even mama eat it alive. It's considered to be already shechted. That's exerce the cause of osat techeim. So it comes with the Kivager as the following shaila. What would the din be if this ben pekua, okay, this the mother, right, you shechted the mother, and the mother had a daughter, and you opened up the animal, right, and the daughter comes out, and now eventually this daughter grows up, and this daughter starts to produce milk, and that milk is taken out of the cow, Michaim, out of this little baby Michaim. What would the din be? Is that called Cholav Shchuta or not? Is that included in the Gzeres HaKos of the Cholav Shchuta is permissible midaraisa. That's not called cholof for the purpose of basa b'cholof. What's the shailas of Tzibik Vega? That's the latest of Suffolk. If you hold that the gezeris akosav is lo savashim be b'cholof imo, milk that comes out mechayim, it has to come out mechayim of the behemah, not liachashchita, because it has to be roy likros aim. That's the real gezeris akosav. This little calf, when it produces milk in a couple of years from now, this little calf is able to have babies. This little calf is a perfectly healthy baby, a perfectly healthy cow. It's going to grow up into a mature cow. It's going to be able to produce babies. If it's going to be able to produce babies, then the milk that it's producing is chol of deraisa. On the other hand, says Rabbi Kivega, if you take the lashon of Chazal literally, it's chol of shchuta. The reason why this calf is mutter is because it's shchuta. Because Afidin, the shchita of its mother 10 years ago, was chal on this fetus. And even though this fetus now grows up and it's walking around, it looks like a very alive animal. We're looking at this animal, we're saying, Apidin, you're dead. Apidin, you're geshachter. Apidin, you're already a shchuta. And therefore, one can argue maybe the milk that comes out of this calf in 10 years from now will, in fact, not be cholav on the level of their eyes. So you needed Reb Kivega to dig up a case. We're trying to find the nafkamina. Is there any nafkamina whether the nature of the ptur of cholav shchuta is a function of ain a royal likros aim? So this ben pakua is royal likros aim. Or is it a function of the din of shchuta, and this ben pakua is already considered to be a shchuta? Okay, not the most common shalas. I haven't had too many of these shalas in my life, but that's a famous, famous sophic of Reb Kivega.
If it's shchuta, is the milk fleshig?
Is the milk fleshig? Not necessarily. It's not any different than chal. It also not be fleshig, but again, without learning chal. So then Reb Kivega turns around and says, if you're already giving me a shaila nafkamina between shchuta and enerim kura lios aim, so I could potentially flip the shaila and give you another scenario, another nafkamina, in the other direction. Now I'm looking for an animal that is not technically shchuta. On the other hand, it's enerim kura lios aim. It can never ever have a child. What's the case? So Reb Kivega throws out another shaila. What if you have an animal that's a trefa? You have an animal that has a hole in its stomach, hole in its heart, hole in its head. We know for a fact that it's a trefa. So we're definitely not going to be eating this meat. No shaila about it. And the truth is, we really shouldn't be drinking this milk either, because any milk that's inside this trefa is chol v'yotze min a trefa, which pashta is also midaraisa. I mean, chol v'yotze min a kshera, we had enough trouble trying to figure out why it's mutter, but chol trefa is for sure a problem. So nobody from is going to sit down and actually drink this milk. But Rabbi Kivega says, even though we're not going to drink this milk, I have a bas b'cholof shayla. Is this cholof treifa cholof for the purpose of the bas b'cholof? Just because you're not allowed to eat it, not allowed to drink it, it's still important for us to know whether it's cholof or bas b'cholof shayla. Why is it important? For bishul, for hanor, maybe for all the other issues related to bas b'cholof. So Rabbi Kivega, hatasofik, what's the din? Is cholof treifa included in cholof for the purpose of the bas b'cholof? So if you would. It says Rabbi Kivega, what's the shaila? What's the issue? So if you hold that cholof shchuta is not subject to bas b'cholof, cholof treifa, it's not shchuta. I never shechted it yet. It's not mamish dead. I mean, treifa the chayame, but it's not really, really dead. So behema treifa is still alive. So if you hold that the gzeres hakosav is basically cholof shchuta is mufka from a din of cholof, but cholof of an animal that's chay is not mufka from the yisra cholof. Then cholof treif is real bona fide cholof, and it could potentially create problems of basa b'cholof for bishul, fanor, etc. But if you hold that the gzeres hakosav that was matir cholof shchuta was eino roi likros aim, so then you got to go back to the veterinarians, got to go back to the sugyas and figure out can a treif be yoledes or not yoledes. So it's quite possible that an animal that's a treif may not be able to be yoledes. Maybe that's a whole other discussion. If those facts are true, that a treifa is a halachic category, it's ainu ru'uya likros aim, it will never ever be able to have a baby. There's no way in the world this behemoth treifa will ever be able to have a baby, so it's never going to be ru'uya likros aim. If it's never going to be ru'uya likros aim, maybe it's included in the gzeres hakosav of yatza chalav shchuta she'ainu ru'uya likros aim. So we can make a blight by a suffix also. So l'chora, the two shabbos are totally zebizet. It's one fundamental question. What's the nature of the din of cholav shchuta? Is cholav shchuta a mufka from the din of bas b'cholav because it's dead? That's the reason why. Because kashach that's already shchuta, that's finished. Or is cholav shchuta excluded because it's ain ruya likros aim? You can have a case of ain ruya likros aim without being shchuta. That's treifa. And you can have a case of shchuta and it is ruya likros aim. That's the case of ben pakua. So l'chora, those two shailas are totally zebizet. Fine. So far, so good. So Rabbi Yisai, now we get to the most common of all the shailas. We have very few mecholav shailas and very few cholav zocha shailas, not too many cholav isha shailas, and no cholav ben pakua shailas at all on the horizon. But Rabbi Yisai, there is a shayla that you will inevitably get, and that's the next part. And that's the issur, the question, I shouldn't say the issur, the issue of cholof shkedim. Cholof shkedim. What is cholof shkedim? Almond milk, soy milk, ice cream, anything that looks like milk. You may want to put it into your coffee like milk. You may want to put it into your cereal like milk. It's got a lot of qualities, characteristics of milk. But we all know it has no resemblance, literally, to milk. It resembles living or dead. What's the din? Is there a concern at all? Now, midaraisa, this is a joke of a shayla. Obviously, cholof shkedim is not a problem. It's not even milk. Wow. Is there some kind of a problem with the Rabbanan? Do we have to be concerned of cholof shkedim? We have to treat it like vosim cholof on the level of the Rabbanan. Why would anybody think of such a thing? So there's no Gemara about it. The Gemara doesn't, Chazal didn't know about it, didn't eat the cholof shkedim, whatever it was. All of a sudden, come the early Acharonim and start to pilfer with should we be concerned with cholof shkedim or not? Why would anybody think that there's a problem with cholof shkedim? So came along the Marshal and the others who came up with the following cheshbon. They said it's based on a Gemara in Maseches Krisos. That's not even talking about Bosom Cholof Bechlal. The Gemara is talking about, who knows, who saw already the back, it's all about Dam. So we know you're not allowed to eat dam. That's just the rice that eat dam. But dam dagim is permissible, right? Only dam behemus, dam oifus is also. Dam fish blood is mutter min haTorah. So comes the Gemara and says, even though fish blood is mutter min haTorah, if you see a guy sitting down and having a cup of red tuna fish blood or something, yeah. I don't know, doesn't sound good, but you're having fish blood, so it's a shtickle marasayan problem. You see a guy drinking and downing down a cup of fish blood, you think the guy's drinking animal blood, I think he's drinking bird blood. So there's a chashash of course, the famous term, barisayin. So comes the Gemara in Maseches Krisos and says, taka problem. But there are abundant taka problems, an isser marisayin. So you have to do it in such a way that nobody will be cheshed that you're drinking fish blood. So what do? The Gemara came up with a great idea. So those who were nauseated by the fish blood are probably going to be even more nauseated by the solution. Those who were with us in Shabbos last year may very well remember this sugya. No, what do you got to do? You got to put the kaskasim in. You got to put the scales into the fish blood. We're not going to act this out before lunch. You have to put the scales into the fish blood. So then when you see a guy drinking this delicious concoction of fish blood with scales, you'll realize right away, oh, this is not animal blood. This is fish blood because animals don't have scales. For those who know their veterinary medicine. So, everyone's going to realize it's not really a marasayin. It's not really a problem. So that's the Farisha Gemara. So comes the Marshal, come a group of places and say, just as Chazal were concerned as a marasayin, of that people may think you're drinking animal blood, drinking bird blood, so maybe we should invoke the same marasayin when it comes to cholof shkedim as well. You see a guy sitting down, is having a hamburger, drinking a cup of almond milk, of cholof shkedim, so we should insist that he put something there that everyone will realize, will notice right away, this is not real milk. So we have to think of some kind of an equivalent of kaskasim. So Baruch Hashem, we have a good equivalent of kaskasim. What is it? You put the shells of the almonds. So it's probably going to be very untasty to put the shells into the drink. So not as untasty as a kaskasim. So just put the shells on the table. Make it look really, really messy. You know, you have your, there used to be these big signs on the buses. Ein lefatzeach, garinim. Remember those signs? I don't think they have them anymore. You know, the Israelis just sit around and eat the garinim, the sunflower seeds, and they were just, he'll throw them onto the seats of the buses. There used to be a big sign, all the buses are Ein la'ashen, Ein lefatzeach garinim. So here, the Marshal is saying, Yesh lefatzeach. I go to him, you got to leave the shells there. Don't throw the shells into the garbage. Make the table look like a real, real mess. Like a real, you know, Hamish Shalosh Shuddis. You got all the stuff on the table. Make sure when you're drinking your cholof shkedim that you have the really, really messy almond peels and shells there. Because otherwise, you're going to run into a problem with marasayim. Ad kan chumra from Marshal, other gedalia paiskim.
There is no Gemara that actually talks about Mesh Gedim.
Not that I know. Cholof shkedim?
So, it's Mesh Gedim only from
Achronim Avraham? I mean, the Gemara doesn't talk about it. I don't think the Rishonim, maybe the Levi Rishonim talk about it. But the Gemara for sure doesn't talk about it.
So, we have to be concerned for every single thing that's white and...
But we'll get there. We'll get there. So, Ad Kan, the early Achronim, who made this dimyon. So, comes Rabbi Yonasan Ivershitz in the Sefer Crazy Place, and he says he doesn't think the whole dimyon is correct. He says the whole dimyon may correlate so. What's the difference? So says Rabbi Yosef Habeshitz, he says, when it comes to dam, so dam, dagim, it's called blood. It's the same biological blood. Don't fish have blood, right? No. It does the same thing. It's got the same red blood cells, white blood cells, plasma. You do a study on the blood, it's blood. It just happens to be that it's blood that the Torah was not there. The Torah only says, la'if la'behema, other blood, dam, dagim is mutter. When it comes to cholof shkedim, Rabbi Yosef Habeshitz, he says, It's a joke. It's a made-up term. It's called almond milk. Who made up the term almond milk? Call it almond juice. Don't call it almond milk. It's not milk. It's much closer in terms of its characteristics to a juice of a fruit than it is to milk. Milk doesn't make an almond into a mammal. The whole thing doesn't make any sense. It's not really milk. So says Rav Yosef Eibershitz, the whole dimyon is incorrect. By dam dagim, I understand there's a marasayim. By chov shkeitim, there's no marasayim b'chlal. Lefini is diet again. I don't understand what he's asking. What's the problem?
It's still
marasayim. It's still marasayim. Because if you ask Lamdin, that he looked at everything in halachic lamdusha categories. So for a Lamdin who looks at the almond milk and the cup of milk on the table, realizes right away, this is not the same. Who would ever confuse the two? But because one apidin is chalav, we're talking about palbal, we're talking about a regular guy, a guy who's sitting here and has no idea what's in the cup. So if this is white and this is white, this looks like milk and this looks like milk, what's the difference between the red and red and the white and white? So the chayyid of Yosef Eibershitz is the big palace. If you were talking about halachic categories, so then it's taka very, very good chiluk. But we're talking about marasayim. Marasayim by definition means we're talking about amaratzim. So people don't understand. If everyone was such great tamid chacham, there would be no need for marasayim. Everyone would chop right away that this is davra muta. So the whole thing is very, very difficult. So the chayyid, the marshal is right that the taina is a good taina, that we have to make this marasayim. The same way Chazal made the Marasayan to solve the Marasayan with the Kaskas, and we have to come up with an idea of solving the Marasayan, i.e. by putting in the shells. So the Marshal is not so bad. Comes the Ramon and says, no, it's not true. Comes the Ramon and says, there's still a tremendous difference between the two cases. What's the difference? Says the Ramon, in the case of the Dagim, so what's going to happen? If a guy sees somebody drinking fish juice, fish blood, he's going to think, oh my goodness, this guy's a real Rosh Marusha. He's violating Nisa Dereis, he's Chayv Koris for drinking animal blood and bird blood. That's terrible. The ramifications are terrible, terrible, terrible. Masha Enkein, if a guy sees somebody eating his meat together with his cup of almond milk, so what's so terrible? What's going to be so gefährlich, says the Ramon? What's going to be the biggest disaster? He's going to think that the guy's violating what? Bas Bechol Dereisa? That's what you're worried about, Bas Bechol Dereisa? They know Bas Bechol Dereisa. First of all, nobody was eating meat. No one had meat in Eastern Europe. They're all eating chicken anyway. Number two, even if they're eating meat, I'm just kidding. If they're even eating meat, what? It's not cooked together. It's like a bishul. The whole thing. Where's the deraisa? Where's the deraisa? Says the Ramon, in Timtzil Leibag, you want to take a steak and put it into a pot with almond milk and cook it together. Then Kenzine, you can argue that there's some kind of a marzayin. But that's not what's happening. The Marshal was talking about Besar Oifis in the first place. And even if it's Besar Behema L'chayr, the same objection of the Ramah doesn't spell this all out, but that's what he means. That since the odds of this ever resembling a Bas B'chov Dereis are so remote, the whole Marasayan doesn't make any sense. So we cannot extrapolate from a Marasayan and a Dereisa to a Marasayan and a Derabbanan. So therefore the Ramah says the whole Marshal, the whole thing is in a correlation. If the one crazy case where you're cooking steak and almond milk, then maybe the Marshal is right.
Okay.
Good. Okay. Good. So that's like putting the shells on the table. Good. But the Ramah is saying you don't even have to remove the problem. The Ramah says there's no problem because it's only Marasana and the Rabbanan. So comes the Shach, a very, very famous attack on this Ramah. It's even Peizayin. And the Shach says, wait a second. What did the Ramah just tell us? The Ramah just told us because it's only mid the Rabbanan, therefore we don't have to be concerned. Therefore there's nothing to worry about, says the Shach. Everyone read what the Ramah just said. The Ramah just said there's no Marasayan and Isur Derabbanan. Is that true? So the Shach goes to town to show you why that's clearly not the case. Anyone who ever learned anything about the Sugi Marasayan knows immediately that's Bechlal not true. That there's no Marasayan and Derabbanan is Bechlal not true. So the Shach says, I'm going to give you 15 Rayas that there's Marasayan and Derabbanan. We're not going to talk about all the Rayas. We mean one Raya. We'll talk about just one Raya. What's the one Raya? The Shach says, the Fair Shigamar in Masech HaShabbos. Talk about it. Last year, Be'arichos, the Gemara says in Masech HaShabbos, the Gemara says that you're not allowed to have your animal go out into the street on Shabbos if the animal is mamish carrying something and there's no Erev in town. That's a potential issur deraisa. But even if it's something that's not really called carrying, it's really considered to be wearing, sometimes it's problematic anyway. If it gives off the impression that the animal is being brought out to the marketplace for sale, lechinga. The Gemara talks about if an animal is wearing a bell on Shabbos and it's walking out into the street, so you're not allowed to do that because it's a marasayim. What's the marasayim? People are going to think you're going to sell your animal. That's usually how, it's like the ice cream truck, right? When you know, going to announce that the animal's coming to town, so the people put the bell on it. So if I see Reuben's animal spazzering down Main Street with a bell on, So people are going to think, oh, he's trying to bring it out to be sold, and that'll be a marisayin and mechira in Shabbos. So for Ech Tishach, those who learned Masechet Veitza, those who Masechet Shabbos last year, all know that Mekach or Memker in Shabbos is only an Issa Derabbanan. Still, there are ice involved. Maybe it's a Gezeri Shem Yichta, maybe it's from Tzachevtzacha, maybe it's something else, but there are ice if a Shwartz not. So for Ech Tishach, and Afal Pichain, Chazal will consider it marisayin. You see from here that marisayin applies even to Derabbanan. So comes the Shach with Bekiyas from Masechet Shabbos and says, since we know for a fact that Marisayin applies even to Derabbanan, so now if you think the Marshal is right, if you think the Gemara Krisis is right, that there is a potential Marisayin involved with Dam Dagim, then the extrapolation to Cholav Shkedim is a valid extrapolation. Even though Cholav Shkedim will never be a Chashash Marisayin Deraisa, it's at worst going to be only a Derabbanan. It doesn't matter, says the Shach. You see clear from the Gemara Masechet Shabbos that Marisayin applies even to Yisurim Derabbanan. So how do you solve this dilemma? How do you get around this problem? It sounds like a shtaka kasha. So you can take one of two different approaches, how to be doicha this raya of the Shach if you really want to bring the Ramah back to life. So one is you can take, in a sense, the localized approach and say, no, the Ramah is right, and the Ramah really meant it, and this Taka no Marisayin and Derabbanan, the Ramah really, really means it. And that raya, brush, I'm not sure, the Shach really liked this raya. He gets so excited about this raya. You can say, no, the Shach's facts are wrong. Why are the facts wrong? Because there is a Marisayin of a Deraisa. So you got to really, really work on that one. Where's the Deraisa? It's only selling. Mechem Memke is not a Deraisa. So you got to really, really use creativity. How do you use creativity on that one? This is Masechet Shabbos. Who was with us last year? The Ramban. You got to go up a Ramban in Parshas Emor and say that, well, if you have your store open on Shabbos, so that's a potential list of Deraisa. Why? Because that's a bitl of Shabbos Lashem, that's a bitl of Shabbosan, or something or other. So the Ramban says that doing business on Shabbos could potentially be a deraisa. Even though the Gemara, the Rishonim write the details of, and I give you a present on Shabbos, it's probably only a derabanan, but if you have mamish, business as usual, real business taking place, that could potentially be a deraisa of Shabbos Lashem. So maybe that's the way to end for the Ramah. And the Shas Atchach, it's a dochik de keteretz. That the Ramah had in mind that the Gemara in Shabbos isn't a Raya because of the Ramban and the Torah. I mean, you have to have a lot of creativity for that one. So on the side of Shulchan Aruch, in the Nachlas Tzvi, it was written by the Pesach Tshuva. So the Nachlas Tzvi on the side of this Shach, on the side of this Ramah. Yeah, Nachlas Tzvi was the Pesach Tshuva just quotes the Tshuva from the Echrem, then when he has something he wants to say on his own, so he added a footnote on the side. So comes the Nachlas Tzvi and he says, no, he thinks that the real emissary answer to this Ramah is radically different. You have to go back to the original what the Ramah said. The Ramah was a little bit misleading when the Ramah said that it's only Derabbanan, therefore don't bother me, don't pester me, it's only Derabbanan, it's no Marisayin. Says in Achasvi, it's not exactly what the Ramah meant. If you go back to the Sugyas of Marisayin, so you may very well remember, there was a major machlekes at Tanoim about what are the parameters of Marisayin exactly. Famous Gemara in Masechet Shabbos about if a person's clothing got wet on Shabbos, so you're not supposed to hang it up to dry. You hang it up to dry, people are going to walk by and say, oh, this guy did just wash his clothes on Shabbos. That's a no-no. That's a problem in Marisayin. So the Machlokes HaTanoim, what if I want to hang it up in private? If I hang it up in the street where everybody sees it, that's a problem. What if I want to hang it up over my bathtub and I'll close the door and lock the door, no one's going to see it? Is that a problem or not? So the Machlokes HaTanoim. So one Tana says, that's taka mutter. There's no marisayin. It's mutter. That's what the Mishnah says. The Mishnah in the end of Shabbos, it says it's mutter. And then the Gemara quotes other Tanoim who say, Kol mokam she'asu chacham yishu marisayin, afilu b'chadri chadarim is also. But chalik is a Tanoim. Did they ask the marisayin only in public? Or did they ask the marisayin even b'chadri chadarim? So you can pilpul what's the machlekes. Why should anybody say it's also b'chadri chadarim? L'chari, the other Tana is right. If it's only out to marisayin, if no one's going to see it, why should it be also? So you can philosophize about why it's also. Either you could suggest that. Well, maybe the other Tana was concerned that you never really know if it's Chadik Chadarim. Even Chadik Chadarim could sometimes become public. Maybe it's just in a sense a tekel machlokes. Because everybody agrees in theory, if it's really, really, really Chadik Chadarim, it should be mutter. It's just that one Tana didn't want to trust Chadik Chadarim. That's one beer in the machlokes. Whenever I say that beer, I always tell over the story about the guy in Yontif Sheni. I was once in somebody's house on Yontif Sheni in America. There was a Ben Eretz Yisrael. And he was following that shita that we don't follow, that says that there's one possibility that a Ben Eretz Yisrael in Chutz La'aretz is allowed to do malacha b'tzina. Bifar Hesyas for sure, not allowed to do. And b'tzina, most of the Rishonim say, is not allowed to do it. That's how we pass it. But there's one day out there, Taz holds that he can do malacha b'tzina. So he was following that shita. He never heard of the Taz, he never heard of tzina, he never heard of it. He thought that you're allowed to do malacha, fine. So he was on the phone inside the room, and his door was closed. So there are a lot of people who are in the house, and there's Ben Aris Yisrael sitting and talking on the phone on his computer, doing his business on the second day of Sukkot. So one of the kids in the house opened up the door, and there were like 20 people standing in right by the door, and he was standing there with his phone in hand. He was very, very embarrassed. So Al Zeh Ne'emar, Chadur Chadur, Mizishkin Chadur Chadur. You think you're, I don't want to tell him this long this, but you think it's Chadur Chadur, you know such thing as Chadur Chadur. Fine, okay. So maybe that's the Bir Adav. Everybody agrees in Lomdus the Chadur Chadur should be Mutar, but Lamais it's hard to invoke. Or maybe the Machlekes is that the other Tana that says Chadur Chadur is Osir holds that even though the reason doesn't apply, but once Chazal made the Gezeira, it kind of takes on a life in and of itself. That they made an Issa the Rabbanan of don't hang up your laundry. For me personally, no one's going to see it because it's in my bathtub. But maybe the Marisayan was the impetus for the Gezeira, but maybe there was a brand new Gezeira called don't hang up laundry on Shabbos, even though the reason may not necessarily apply. He's like, yeah, when you're learning Shabbos and learning Marisayan, you got to start to figure out what exactly the Kudus HaMachlokes is. Most of the Rishonim Paskin, the Chadur Chadur is a problem. That's how we Paskin in Shulchan Aruch, that kol makom she'asachom v'rei Marisayan, tachab Chadur Chadur is also. Notwithstanding that, there is a Gemara in Maseches Ksubis on Daf Samach, where the Gemara seems to contradict this principle of Chadur Chadur. Who remembers from Shabbos days? Right? What? God is on the roof. Okay, so the Gemara tells a story, right? About who is it? Nochem Isha? Galia, right? From where did we decide last year he came from? Galia is where? Yeah, it's cool. Well, didn't we decide that last year? Who was with us last year? We had this whole research, some guy was looking up for us and we found that's where he came from. We made it up. Okay, one of the many things we make up a lot of things. So Nochem Ish Galia said the following din, that if you're sitting on top of your, sitting in your house and all of a sudden you realize that the drain pipes, I don't know, your gutters and your roof are all stuffed up and your whole house is gonna self-destruct, it's gonna get ruined. So what do? So you're allowed to go up there and kind of remove out the leaves a little bit. You can remove the leaves, fix up the gutters, and to avoid everything from clogging up. So how does Nochem say you have to do it? Who remembers? So you got to do it, you got to do it in an abnormal way, you got to do a bitzina, nobody sees you. And if you're doing it in an abnormal manner, bitzina, so then it's going to be okay. So you're doing it in an abnormal manner, it's only a derabanan, and then so no one's going to think that you're actually going to really fix up your roof or something, so we're showing everything's going to be a shalom Yisrael. So Taisus on the spot is bothered with the kasha. Taisus, wait a second, Taisus, I don't understand. Taisus says, well, letting the guy do it, so why can't he do it in front of everybody? If it's mutter, so then let everybody see he's doing it. So the answer is no, it's a tremendous marasayan, says Taisus. You see a guy going up to his roof and starting to kick open the drain pipe and open up, unplugging the leaves, it looks terrible. It looks like the guy's mamish violating makwa paptish, violating boin, he's doing some real malacha there, right? It looks terrible, right? So it looks so bad, therefore, Rei Marasayan, so we're not going to let you do it. So you can only do it in 2 o'clock in the morning when nobody's watching. So Taisus turns around and says, oh, so if you're telling me that the reason you can't do it in public is because of Marasayan, so then how can you do it in private? It's by the Marasayan. Also feel b'chadur. So Taisin Ksubis gets into a pickle. Taisin says b'manoshach. If it's really mutter, then do it in front of everybody. If it's really a problem, Marasayan, then how can you do it privately? So you could, right? But the Gemara says halacha like that Tana. Halacha Nochem Ish Galia, the Gemara says. So that would mean that we would have to paskin against Rav. It would be a big problem. Some Rishonim say like that, but most Rishonim don't say this. Comes Taisin and says, what's the answer? So Taisin says, the answer is, there's no Diraisa here anyway. Why is there no Diraisa? Because it's only being done, Kiliachayad. You're not doing it in a normal way, you're doing it with the back of your foot. So Diraisa, you're clear anyway. So it's a Maris Ayin on a Dirabonin, says Taisin. It must be that when do we say, that's only a Maris Ayin on a Diraisa, like the case of hanging laundry. If we're concerned that people are going to say you washed your clothes on Shabbos, that's kibbutz malabim, that's a deraisa. So marasayna and deraisa, we're very, very machmir filu b'chadur chadur. Marasayna and derabbanan, the worst thing is someone will be cheshed you that you did a malacha kiliachiyad. Big deal, kiliachiyad. Everything's but kiliachiyad. We ain't learned Shabbos this year, everything's but kiliachiyad. Maybe. So Taisa says, marasayna on a derabbanan, b'chadur chadurim, you can breathe a sigh of relief. Zokta nachlas, tzvi mistome, that's what the Ramah is driving. When the Ramah said that, well, yeah, how come you're Chinek and you can't drink your chalav shkedim together with your meat? It's only a derabbanan anyway. So it's only a derabbanan, there's no marasayan. So the Nachas Tzvi says the Ramah didn't mean to say there's no marasayan, b'chlal kodz of derabbanan. What the Ramah meant is, where is this taking place? This is b'chadri chadarim. I'm eating in the privacy of my own home. What? My wife's next to me. A couple of my kids are around. That's also chadri chadarim. Beferhesia means the whole world is seeing it. 100 people around, that's called Beferhesia. But it's Chag Chedar in my own home, so since it's a Derabonan, it's only Marisainan, Derabonan, Chiyagav Diyesh Mokam Lohokil. So Nachlas Tzvi takes the sting out of the kashas of the Shach. The Shach was talking about a Marisayan Beferhesia, taking your animal out to the marketplace. Everybody sees people are going to be Cheshish, they're going to sell it, even though selling animals is only a Derabonan. A Marisayan a Derabonan is Taka Asa Beferhesia, but a Marisayan on a Chag Chedar is Taka Mutter, it's only a Derabonan. That's the Pshat in Derabonan. If that's the Pshat in the Ramah, so that's going to be a Chum and a Kula. That's going to be a great Kula where? In the privacy of your own home. But it's going to be a big problem where? Say restaurants, chasanas, there are a lot of people around. So a guy's sitting down in a restaurant, and he's sitting and drinking his almond milk and munching on his turkey burger or something, or even on his hamburger, I said cheeseburger, his hamburger. So he's eating his hamburger, and he's eating and drinking his almond milk at the same time. There's a terrible derabanan, which is potentially being violated. Everybody's staring at him. You are eating bas b'chol of derabanan. That's terrible. So for hesia. So the Ramah was never after that. Now again, if you read the Ramah doesn't say this. The Ramah just says the whole thing is a joke. The whole thing is mutter is on a derabanan. So the Nachlas Tzvi, tefe'em for the Shach's Taina, is saying, hochel ma'eskin, and the Ramah was only after privately. Publicly, even the Ramah would be masking Leah said. Whether the Nachlas Tzvi had the right Pshat and the Ramah, not, I can't tell you. But Lamaisa, the Shach asked it even that. The Shach asked it even Bitzina. The Shach seems to be assuming, maybe we don't even pass like that Tais was Exubus. Other Shem of other answers we spoke about. This also last year. So when all the dust settles, we have to say as follows, that we're not convinced that we should follow this Ramah altogether. The Shach disagrees with it. And even within the Ramah, we're not so sure that the Ramah even said what we thought he said. So this was the background to Shilas that started open up 30, 40, 50 years ago when all these parvus types of things started to enter onto the scene. And they started with the non-dairy creamers and they moved into the parva ice creams and all this stuff. So the question was, are these real considerations of Marisayan? So the early poskim, 40, 50 years ago, said, hey, wait a second, lo pashut. If you want to be making in your own house, maybe you could rely on the Ramah, the Nachlas Tzvi. But you want to be making in restaurants and chasanas, that's a problem. So that's what the policy was in the Nashkochas years ago, was when they would bring out the non-dairy creamers, they would insist on bringing it out in the packaging. And they wouldn't pour it. It's very, you know, not nice. You go to a fancy restaurant, pay $100 for a meal, so they should bring you out the non-dairy creamers in a nice, you know, pitcher, a nice jar or something. No, they would bring it out to you in this cheap cardboard box that said, oh, you parve on it, that says no milk whatsoever here, and shine. So they were chayshesh that even the Ramah would aser because it's in public, and according to the Shach, would be a problem. That was the practice for many, many years. One could now reevaluate this practice and raise the following question. Maybe this whole Maris Ayin just fell by the wayside. Maybe Chlal, there's no Maris Ayin in this anymore. Why should we say there's no Maris Ayin? 50 years ago, it was a tremendous chiddush. Wow, you saw somebody eating parva ice cream. Wow, this guy's eating bas b'chol. Today, you go to chasana, and they come out at the end of the chasana. They come out together with the Viennese table, together with all the other Narish guy that comes out, and they bring you parva ice cream. So I got to go check the mashkiach. Maybe it's really milchiks. Maybe they're making a mistake. Nobody thinks that. Everybody realizes it's parva ice cream. It looks like parva ice cream. It tastes like parva. Everybody knows it's parva ice cream. Every chayshik. I just bought ice cream this past Shabbos. My wife told me on Friday to go buy some parva ice cream. So it said on the brand, it was a different brand I hadn't bought before. It said something. The logo was, it just happens to be parva. That was like the advertisement. It doesn't just happen to be parva. There's a reason why it's parva, because it tastes like parva ice cream. It's not real ice cream. It happens to be parva. So nobody's chayshin this man. The whole Marisayan is a big joke, this man is there. So one could argue, if any is dyke, one could argue that the whole thing doesn't apply. That whatever chumras existed years ago, maybe don't apply anymore. We have to be honest, though, the Badi Ashulchan quotes the Svar already. He wrote the Sefer already 10, 20 years ago, whatever it was, and he wrote in Bas B'cholov. He quotes such a Svar, and he says, not true. He says, in the days of the Ramah and the Marshal, it seemed like Cholov Shkedim was a regular thing. It didn't sound like once in a million years they served Cholov Shkedim. It was a regular staple in Eastern Europe. Everybody knew it was Cholov Shkedim, and still the Paiskim were nervous about it. So he says, who's going to measure now? You got to do a study in sociology. Is it more common, is there less reason to have Marisayan on our non-dairy cream, and our parva ice cream, than it was in the Chof Shkedim of the 1500s in Eastern Europe? So the Badei Shulchan says, I'm not going to make that call. I'm not going to decide that. And you see, the Gedalia Poskim was still worried about Marisayan, so we have to be worried about Marisayan Bizman Hazeh. So he says we should go back to the old practice. We should make sure that the hashgacha organizations leave it in the original containers. It should look messy. It should look terrible. It should be like the equivalent of the leaving the shells of the almonds to the chalav shekeidim. What do they do? Bizman is it? Anyone goes to fancy restaurants?
They don't bring out.
They don't. What are
they? I think the
assumption
is that you know.
Right. So, yeah.
Some
hashgachas are required. Oh, there you have it. Okay. So who can now document which restaurants? That's a real question. What's the RCBC policy? Anybody know? I have no idea. I'm supposed to set it. I don't know. I have no idea what the policy is. I don't know.
And the same thing applied to the meat if you're dealing with soy.
Yeah. Oh, same kind of thing. Yeah.
So you have to be more careful about that.
So that's it's. So that means a little bit less. So we had the shilas. The RCBC. We had the shilas about one of the stores wanted to sell these pizzas with the fake meat on it. All these kinds of things. How much you have to make it clear that it's that everything is parva. How
fake
stuff. Yeah. Yes. Yeah, so, well, everybody knows the whole thing. The whole world today is a fake. Everybody knows that nothing's real. I don't know. But anyway, this is the background. This Ramon, this Marshal, it's all the whole world. There's no abundance. There's no. Yeah. I don't know why. Yeah.
And Baal Shilcha doesn't sound really right to me. I mean, it doesn't really matter like that. You know, what happened in the Ramban? What did they do? And therefore, it's binding now.
No, but he's saying that
anyone nowadays.
But he's claiming that in the days of the Ramban, they also knew all the facts, and the place was still machmir. I don't know. A couple of years. I don't know.
I don't know.
You want me to prove what's going on 1500s in Krakow? I have no idea. Anyway, Tachlis, I remember last year, so we were hacking in the RCBC about this, about one of these issues. So I said my piece. I said, yes, I know what it says in Ramah, I know what it says about Ashokha, but I still, in my heart of hearts, believe it's all okay with Manazah. And then they show me a tshuva from Moshe, and Moshe wants all this again, and back and forth. I don't know what the maskana was. So next time, anyone eats in Tinek? We only eat pizza. We can't afford anything else. So if you go to a real restaurant in Tinek, so find out. Order coffee afterwards and let me know what the policy is. Since I'm supposed to set it. Yeah.
Would the shack even be loaded if you put the shells around?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, that's what the shack says you have to do. Right. He's calling the marshal.
And just where's like the line between like where it's like I know what I'd be saying that it's sort of, but also like being like a novel which is sort of like the fake in and
I know it's Novel Shusatar. I think of a lot of Novel Shusatars these days. The Gemara says in Chulin, the Gemara says the famous story of Yalta, right? Yalta said to Rav Nachman that every tray for food there's a kosher counterpart. So the Gemara says a Kchal, Bas Becholim, everything tastes like, and you see the Torah permits these things. The Gemara says there's a fish out there, Shibuta, that tastes like Chazer. So it's okay. I don't think that's really Novel Shusatar.
It
looks like blood.
Yeah,
that's actually closer to the milk. Real looks the same. I don't know. Some of you guys have never saw a pomegranate. I don't know.
Cherry juices.
Okay, I don't know. I'm not sure. All right. Bye-bye, say. So move on to the next circuit. So again, so we have a little bit of a background in terms of what's called boss, a little bit of background, what's called cholov. Now we move on to the next major topic, and that's combining the two together. Hopefully not combining the two together, but the basic principle called derech bishul. So as we already started off the shiur by saying, the only time we have boss called deraisa is only if it's considered to be los of ashel. It's got to be derech bishul los of tayra. So we have a lot of work cut out for us to try to determine what exactly is considered derech bishul, what's not considered derech bishul. We know that the term Bishol, those were with us last year in Shabbos, so we spend a lot of time on the sugars of Bishol, particularly the definition of Bishol and Shabbos and comparing and contrasting Bishol and Shabbos to Bishol and other areas of Halacha. So now we're going to do that also, but coming from the Bas Becholov angle. We know that the term Bishol is not limited only to Bas Becholov. We have Bishol, part of the Lama Tes Malachas and Shabbos. And when it comes to Bishul and Shabbos, so we know that the definition of Bishul is very, very expensive. I mean, one is chayef for Bishul, whether you take a piece of chicken and put it into a pot of water and cook it up. One is chayef for Bishul / oifer, if you take a dough and stick it into the oven and make yourself a loaf of bread. What is chayef a bishul if one takes food and fries it together? That's also considered to be bishul. If one takes a chicken and roasts it over an open fire, that's also considered to be bishul. Even though technically none of those four things are really the same. One is called bishul, and one is called tzli, and one is called daif, and one is called tigun. So there are nuances of difference, but we just lump it all together. It's all chayev and Shabbos. So the purpose of the bishul, quote unquote bishul and Shabbos, there is clearly no difference whatsoever what the final outcome or what the ingredients are going to be. Tachlis, you took raw food, you applied, I'm afraid to say the word flame, but I'm going to say it anyway. We may have to redefine that as we go on. You applied a flame, you applied heat or something, and you took raw food, and you got edible food, so you basically violated this in the rice edition. Is that statement true when it comes to bas b'cholov also? That any change whatsoever in the food, making edible by using a fire, automatically counts as bishul. When it comes to bishul for bas b'cholov, there's something more exact, there's something more precise that has to be violated in order to really be bas b'cholov derais. Now again, midrabanan, none of this is going to matter because midrabanan, yeah, you can't have a slice of salami together with a cold slice of cheese. Even shlo b'derech bishul klal is also midrabanan. But we really, really want to isolate bishul derais. So we want to isolate bas b'cholov derais. That's the whole theme of Sivan Pei Zayin. So the sugya begins in a very, very strange place. It doesn't even start Maseches Chulin. It starts actually Maseches Sanhedrin. I think I put it on the Maran Kavas. It starts in the beginning of the Avdal of Maseches Sanhedrin, where the Gemara is talking about a topic which is, at first glance, nothing at all to do with us. It's a topic in Kol Torah Kula called Yeshem LeMikro Yeshem LeMaseches. We know that when you read the Chumash, so there are no dots. Okay? My son, Avram Zev, was much more appreciated than we dots. He's trying to learn his Bar Mitzvah Parsha, a little easier, but there are no dots in the Sefer Torah. Because there are no dots in the Sefer Torah, how do you know how to pronounce a lot of words? I mean, you can look at the same word, and he does a good job with that. Looking at the same word, you can pronounce it 15 different ways, different times. So how do you know how to pronounce things properly? So the answer is, we have a tradition. We know that this is HaKadosh Baruch Hu taught Moshe Rabbeinu. Not only gave him the text of the Torah, but he explained him, this is how you pronounce these and these words. You know, something's about Kerr pronounces something way off, changes the meaning, it's a disaster. So you got to make sure that the Sefer Torah is written properly and is pronounced properly. So come Chazal, come to Tanoim and have a machlokes in the world of Torah Sheba Peh. Sometimes, if you read a pasuk the way it's pronounced, it will have a certain implication, will have a certain meaning. If you would theoretically read the pasuk the way it's written, it would have a very, very different meaning. So let's take some of the easy examples of this. Say, Sukkos is coming around the corner. So the Torah says, Besukkos teishu shivas yavim. So we know that the word Sukkos in the Chumash has to be written, and if it has to be written, Choser. That was the Mesoira. The Mesoira was, Ish Pishan Moshe Rabbeinu, the word Sukkos doesn't have a vav in it. However, we all know that the Mikra, the correct way of pronouncing the word, is Basukkos teishu. If a Balkoi would say Basukkas teishu, you'd have to correct him. So Ramosh also took the sugya. It says, Kach Mechem Yav Prieta Kapos Tamarim. Kapos is written without a vav. If the Balkoi would say Kapas Tamarim, you would have to correct him. Aye, but it says in the Sefer Torah Kapas, but we know that the Mikra is Se Kapos Tamarim. So comes the Gemara and says that there's a nuance of difference between the word sukkas and sukkos. There's a nuance of difference, a world of difference between kapos and kapas. Kapas is one, kapos is multiple. Sukkas is one, sukkos is multiple. And kahein v'chein v'chein. So there's a machlekes atanoim in the world of Tesha Peh, when you have drushes of psukim, how does the halacha follow? Is the halacha determined by what the mikra is, what the kriya is, what the pronunciation is? Or is the halacha determined by what the mesayra is, what the text of the Torah is given to Moshe Rabbeinu is? So which is kaveh the halacha? And every once in a while you have steers, you have contradictions. So major machlekes is the Torah. Sugim beginning Maseches Sanhedrin. Fine. So in this context, the Gemara tries to prove to us one way or the other. The Gemara says, we have a pasuk of Sevashim be b'cholev imo. If I don't know how to pronounce it, if I don't have a clear tradition how to pronounce it, I look at the word ches lamed beis, and I could say two totally different words. I could either say cholev, which is just cholev, since it's samach, whatever it is, so it's cholev imo, like, of course, we know the correct pronunciation. Or if I don't have a tradition of how to pronounce it, I could theoretically read the pasuk and say, lo sevashe el gedi b'chelev imo. Not bad. Ches lamed beis, same letters. Can't correct me, right? Chelev imo. So says the Gemara, what forces you to do one rather than the other? Says the Gemara, if you really believe that the Torah Sheba Peh, that the Halach L'Maisa, Shulchan Aruch, Yerodeah, follows the Mesira, follows just the way the letters appear in the Chumash, not the way the official pronunciation is, So you could potentially undermine all of Basim Cholov. We can just stop learning Basim Cholov right now. If you hold the Yesh Eim Le Mesaira, there's no such thing as Basim Cholov. There's a Nisa D'Araisa to cook meat in its G'dib Echelev Imo. You can't cook the meat together with the Chelev of its mother, but the Cholov of its mother would be okay. So if you really, really believed in Yesh Eim Le Mesaira, if you really believe you followed the text, so then the whole Basim Cholov would disappear. So the Gemara says, that is ridiculous. The Gemara says, nobody ever says such a cuckoo thing. So isn't that a raya brush and a lechuva that the correct thing must be yeshem the mikra? It must be, everybody knows it's basim b'cholav. Everybody that you're there, everyone knows it's basim b'cholav. The only way to explain away the existence of Hilchos basim b'cholav is to rely on the fact that we have to follow the mikra, not the mesaira. That's what the Gemara suggests as a raya. The Gemara says, nah, nishkin raya. Gemara says we could stick to our guns that yesh aim lemesaira. The emes is you always follow the mesaira, and this is an exception to the rule. Here the Gemara says it is impossible to translate the word chestam abeis to mean chaylev. That's just an impossibility. That's not even on the radar screen. Yesh aim lemikra, yesh aim lemesaira means, but either one is a valid interpretation. Here it's an impossibility. Why is it impossible? So Gemara says if you're going to tell me that the kavanah satira was chestam abeis means chaylev, that would be silly, that would be absurd, because of four words. What are the four words? Derech Bishul Aser Torah. The Torah only asked Lo Savashel Gdi. If you're going to translate Ches Lama Beis to mean Chelev, that wouldn't be Derech Bishul. Adkat Devi Yagamar. So since the prerequisite for Basim Cholav is it has to be Derech Bishul, the Mela that forces us to conclude that Ches Lama Beis is Cholav, not Chelev. Not based on Mikra Masurah. That's not the Mokhar. The Mokhar that Chelev is not a correct interpretation, not even a possibility, is because Derech Bishul Aser Torah. What does that magic phrase mean? Again, it's tucked away and said head and dollar and base, nothing to do with Yardaya. What is the meaning of that phrase, that cryptic phrase, Derech Bishul Aser Torah? So comes Rashi, comes Tais, at least in one answer, and explains to you what's going on in the Gemara. Come Rashi and Tais and say, let's play devil's advocate for a minute. Let's assume that Cheslam Abeis means Chaf. So what would that mean? What would that mean? It means that the Torah is saying is that Lo Savashel Gedi Bechelev Imoy, you can't take some meat and put it together with fat and cook it together. What would that process be called? Taking meat and putting it together with fat and cooking it together? That wouldn't be called Bishul. Bechlal, that's not called Bishul. What is that called? It's called Tiyah, it's called frying. It's Nishkin Bishul. You know what Bishul means? Says Rashi. Bishul means when you're cooking in a liquid. You look up in the halachic dictionary, look up Wikipedia, you look up cooking. You know what cooking means? When there's a liquid, it's got to be, what's Rashi as a phrase? Tzalul what? Tzalul kamayim. Whenever I see that Rashi, it's hard to, tzalul kayayim. I always think of salt. You guys don't know salt. Avir means, okay? You see, Rashi's kalul. You guys don't even know what I'm talking about, except for Dr. Berman. Salul kamayim, it's got to be something that pours like water. That's what the word bishul means. It's got to be something really, really, really easily pourable. That's what the imagery of bishul is. Rashi says, tigun, it's a garnish. This is nishkin bishul. That's what Rashi says. That's what Taisa says. That's the pshat in the Gemara. So the Gemara proved beyond the shadow of a doubt that chesla mebeis can't mean chaylev because that wouldn't be called derech bishul. So what do you see? An unbelievable chiddush from this Rashi and Taisa. You see from Rashi and Taisa that the definition of bishul in Hukas Bas Mecholov is not the same as what? Yeah. In Shabbos, would anybody in their right mind say, if I fry food, no, not chayv for frying, sorry, fried food is not called bishul? Chalila v'chalila, of course they chayv their eyes for that. Bas Mecholov is different from Hukas Shabbos. Bas Mecholov has got to be bishul, Shabbos. There's a much, much more expansive definition. Why that should be so, we're not quite sure yet, but that's clear from Rashi and Taisa. Rabbi, of course, according to this Rashi and Tosfos, what else would by definition be true? Give me another example of another process besides frying in fat, chelev. What else would by definition not be called Bishul Bas Mecholov? Something like microwave. Sli, roasting. What if I don't take like a fat and shmir, I don't take the chelev and shmir. What if I take a hamburger and take a slice of cheese and I put it together on a grill? Two beef patties, special sauce, cheese, pickled onions on a sesame seed bun. Used to be, right? Okay. So I take a slice of meat and a slice of cheese and I put on the grill and I flip the burger together. What did Rashi and Taisa just tell me? Would anybody say on Shabbos you could do that? That's Bishul D'Raisa and Shabbos. Rashi tells us, just got finished telling you, no, that's not. When it comes to chazbos b'cholav, derech bishul asetayra means it has to be pourable, like a liquid cholav, yeah, chaylev, no. So comes Tosis in Sanhedrin, at the Dalar of days, and says, not so simple, not so poshut. Comes Tosis and says, that, wait a second, there's another pshat in the Gemara. Yesh b'farshim, says Tosis. Maybe what the Gemara meant totally different. The Gemara says derech bishul asetayra. What the Gemara means is as follows: to throw back to the kudon of floss. Comes to us and says, the Gemara is rejecting the possibility that the kavanas aposuk is lo savashuk di bechelav imai. If that's what the Torah meant, lo savashuk di bechelav imai, says Tosfos, that's not called derech bishul asetayra. You know why? What is derech bishul asetayra? What image does that conjure up? Derech bishul asetayra conjures up the image that you're dealing with kosher ingredients. You're combining them together, and bishul is the source of the problem. Bishul is the issue. That's the problem. Derech bishul haTorah means that everything is kosher until the bishul takes place. If the kavanah haTorah of bas b'cholav was dafka chaylev, not cholav, so then that's not derech bishul haTorah. You couldn't have eaten it even before because it was chaylev. Chaylev is treif. So lo savashuk di b'chaylev imo is a non-starter because the Torah wouldn't have said lo savashuk di b'chaylev imo. That would have implied that if it's not derech bishul, it's mutani, which you can't eat because it's chaylev, it's treif anyway. So therefore, Taisus called Yesh Mefarshim, that was the proof of the Gemara that ches lamebeis can't be chaylev. It's got to be cholev because it has to be kosher ingredients in contrast to non-kosher ingredients. And that's all the Gemara meant when it said derech bishul asetayra. According to these Yesh Mefarshim, what just came out of this, is that there is no Gemara, there's no Mokrin Shas to say that frying is not bishul. The Gemara is not even talking about frying. There's no Gemara to say that roasting is not bishul. There's no Gemara talking about it. The Gemara is talking about legamri, a different topic. So what should, if you don't have any Gemara fakir, what should your starting point be? I raising a shayla, is frying considered to be bishul? Is roasting called bishul? What's the answer? You open up Masechah Shabbos, open up Ramach Shabbos, open up Mishnah Berurah in Siman Shin Yuches, and you see roasting and frying is all called bishul. If it's called bishul in Shabbos, it's called bishul in Bas B'cholav. It's only these Rishayim and this Rashi in the first day of Taisis that had this pshat in the Gemara to exclude Aduchas Bas B'cholav. But if you don't have that pshat in the Gemara, if you have like Gamri different pshat in the Gemara, so then the starting point is that it would be the Raisa. So in all the dust settles, everybody say this is part of the what question, the $45,000 question. Is the cheeseburger Bas B'cholav or not? Is it Bas B'cholav the Raisa? Are you allowed to work in McDonald's? Can I flip cheeseburgers or not? So according to the first day in Tysus, according to Rashi, it's Heta Gomer. You can flip cheeseburgers. Guess what? According to Rashi and Tysus, not only in the tray for McDonald's, but even in the where? Nebuch. Even if they're using what? Kosher meat. You can still flip the cheeseburgers. You know why?
Because it's
tegan. Because it's tegan. It's nothing. You can take kosher mahadrin and mahadrin with chol of Yisrael. All the ingredients are kosher chol adayas. And you can sit there and flip burgers and make bas b'chol of der isa. Because it's not bas b'chol of der isa. It's not derech bishul asetayra. Wow. That's a good kula. According to the second day in Taisa, it's l'hoyot v'am
ayalim.
Oh, yeah. That was the hint I dropped. I don't want to ruin it for the next year. Okay, we'll get to Me'ushim, the Rishalmi, the Gura, the Ram, and we'll get to that. Okay, so everybody say, anyone ever get the Shaila Maisa? No, I got the Shaila Maisa. Halacha Maisa Shaila. I kid you not. I'll tell you the background to the Shaila. Okay, I'll tell you. Fill you in the details of the Shaila. I'll tell you part of the Balei Davar. I won't tell you all of them. Some of them will be a little embarrassed, but I'll tell you a little bit. Balei Davar. In Riverdale, there used to be a contest. Probably still is such a contest. The baby of the year. First baby born after January 1st. Gets a special prizes and family here. Kavaldik, whatever. Okay? Go figure. Many moons ago in Riverdale, who won the baby of the year in Riverdale? Not me. I was married already. I was not the baby of the year. I was born in Brooklyn. One of Rabbi Willick's kids was the baby of the year. Was born on January 2nd. And he gave a whole musa shmus. How come a whole day went by and no baby was born? Another story. So January 2nd, one of his kids, you'll figure out who that baby was. Don't ask him in Smedish, but I'm telling you, one of his kids' birthday is January 2nd. And lo and behold, front page of the Riverdale Press, big smiley picture of Rabbi Willig and his Rebbetzin and his baby that said, Mazel Tov, Rabbi's baby a winner. Okay? Kvaldik PR fingers over Riverdale, okay? So the baby got all kind of gifts. They got, you know, lifetime supplies of Pampers and whatever you need. Okay, good. One of the gifts was a dinner for two at Donaghy Steakhouse in Riverdale. Okay, tray for Steakhouse in Riverdale. Wasn't under the Vada of Riverdale, under any Vada at that point. Okay? And still not. So Rebbe's sitting there with this dinner for two at Donaghy Steakhouse. He wants to know what to do with it. So I was sitting in his house when he had this gift certificate in front of him. They said to me, those who know the background, he always calls me Rebbe Tzvi because I was a Rebbe of all his kids. He calls me Rebbe Tzvi. We used to learn together Shabbos afternoon with all his kids. Rebbe Tzvi, what do you think about the Shaila? He said, I'm not going to eat it, he said, but can I give this gift certificate to my babysitter, to my cleaning girl, whatever, non-Jewish girl? Can I give her the gift certificate to Donaghy Steakhouse? What's the Shaila? All the steaks in Donaghy Steakhouse are made in butter. All the steaks are fried in butter. The Shaila is, that's the way it is, okay? They're all fried in butter. I don't know if you can ask from Roger, they're all fried in butter. The Shaila is this called the Nen from Basa B'cholov? The Gemara says that something that's also about knowing, give it as a gift to somebody, because if you give it as a gift to somebody, they're going to be machzik tayva to you. They're going to do a better job changing diapers. They're going to be a better babysitter for you. They're going to clean your house better. That's called the Achzafas tayva. That's called the Hano. Shabder Aisa. Is that called being Nen from Basa B'cholov? So what's the answer? It depends. Is it Basa B'cholov Der Aisa or not? If it's Basa B'cholov Der Aisa, then it will be a problem. If it's Basa B'cholov Der Rabbanan, then what did the Rambam tell us? No? And it's okay. So we had a sveik sveika, tutzadam lachol. What tutzadam lachol? Number one, Donaghy Steakhouse does not use mahadran meat. It uses tray for meat. It uses besan nevela. So whenever you have besan nevela, you always have who to rely back on. You always get the ramen kudan on the floor. This is better than the animal food, than the pet food. The case of the pet food, they mamish cook the meat together, the meat and milk together. Here, it's not cooked together. It's only fried in oil together. Fried in oil, fried in butter together. That's the chaylev, according to Rashi. One day in Taisvis, that's not bas b'chov der ice altogether. So you have two tzadim. Maybe the Rambam's Lakuna Neflah is right, and even those who disagree with the Rambam's Lakuna Neflah, maybe Rashi and Taisvis and Sanhedrin are right. So we have two possible tzadim to be matir to get hano from this Donaghy Steakhouse sweepstake ticket over here. So Rabbi Isai, we have to see, how do we paskin l'alocha? Do we paskin like this Rashi and Taisvis? Is there a reason to believe that they may be rise against this Rashi and Taisvis? So we got to work it out. So by Sefer Hashem, next year, we have to continue on this Nekuda of Tigun versus Tzli versus Dishol, how this plays out, Lamais and Bas B'chol, and then move on to other dimensions of what's called Dishol, what's not called Dishol. Okay, we'll stop.